Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Wedding Community Podcast, Episode 3. I just want to thank you for checking out the podcast, and this is going to be a really good one. Today, I have my friend Ken on the episode. He is a wedding DJ and owner of Amp Event Professionals. We talk about impressing your clients and how to take what you do to the next level and not to just settle for the bare minimum. So I'm going to stop talking. I want to hear what he has to say, so let's hop right in. Hey everyone, today I am joined with my good friend Ken Murphy. Ken is a wedding DJ and professional, and he is located in the Chicagoland area. I met Ken, I wanna say it was 2018. I remember the wedding very clearly, and I remember Ken very clearly because as someone who's filmed hundreds and hundreds of weddings, everything starts to kind of blend together. You know, you kind of see the same thing every single time. You know, the DJs have the same kind of setup. You see the same flowers, you see the same wedding venues. It starts getting a little repetitive. But Ken really stuck out because he really impressed me. And it takes a lot for me to be impressed with, you know, all the weddings I've seen and all the DJs I've seen. And the thing that impressed me the most was his setup and the uniqueness of it, and just the way that he really was taking care of the couple throughout the whole night. Like, it was almost like he was their best friend. And I just love that. His personality and his setup were just top notch. So after that wedding, I knew I had to stay connected with this guy. And since then, you know, it's just been great to kind of see what he's done and how his business has grown. So Ken, I will let you take it away and introduce yourself.
Sure. Well, I'm Ken with Amp Event Professionals. Travis, you did a phenomenal job introducing me there. It gave me goosebumps even. So thanks for letting me be a part of this. And I own Amp Event Professionals. We do weddings, corporate events, all kinds of events. We've been in business since 2004. And I do this full time. I am a multi-op, so I have multiple DJs that work for me. Right now, I just hired on two more actually for the 2021 season. So right now we are at a total of six DJs for the going into the 2021 season year. So I'm really excited to be moving forward here and just excited to see what happens next, you know?
Yeah. It's definitely been a year of adapting last year and this year. It's trying to figure out like what's the best moves to make and everything and to kind of keep going. So I would love for you to share kind of your story, how you got into this, because I know a little bit about it. I know you got started like really young. And so I would love to just kind of hear how you got started and kind of why you got pushed into being a DJ.
Sure. I actually started in 2021. I was 13 years old. And I was with my
uncle. We were sitting at the Wolves game, Chicago Wolves game, and he was my godfather, and he owned a DJ company. And we were kind of talking about the Stanley Cup coming up and that, and we placed a bet on the Stanley Cup. And if I would have won the bet, I would have went to Ozfest, but being that I lost, I worked for his DJ company for a couple days, setting up, you know, weddings and that kind of thing, lighting, sound systems, and just learning the craft, because I always saw my cousin when I was younger, of family parties and stuff, and DJing at family parties. I was like, I want to be that guy. I already have the interest in music. I want to be that guy. So it was kind of a win-win for me, even though I lost the bet. So from there, I just enjoyed doing it, and I expressed that to my uncle. And from there, I just kind of snowballed into me learning more, working almost every weekend, and then doing a couple events on my own, like graduation parties and that kind of thing. And then at 16, I was like, you know what, I'm going to go out on my own and start my own business now. So I bought some DJ gear. I should say my parents lent me some money to buy some DJ gear. I paid them off in about a year and a half, 2 years. And ever since then, it's been, you know, go, go, go for me. So that's pretty much how I got started.
At what point did you guys start kind of bringing on other DJs in? Was that pretty early on, or was it kind of just you for the long time and then you slowly started bringing them in?
Sure. So it was me for the first, I want to say, year and a half, 2 years. And then my cousin, who is my uncle's son, the one that owned the DJ company, the DJ company folded. It was Chi-Town Entertainment that they folded, and he needed somewhere to go. And I was like, hey man, do you want to come play for me a little bit? And he said, yeah, sure, sounds great. So ever since then, he's been my number one DJ. And that was like 18 years ago now. So
time flies, right?
Yeah, time flies. That's awesome. Got that right.
What has it been like, you know, kind of having other people under you? Like, are they Like, are they considered on staff or are they considered subcontract? How does that work for you?
So for us, all of my employees are W-2s. And that was as of January 1st, 2020. We didn't really get a whole lot of use of that last year due to the pandemic, but I just wanted to be able to give my employees a chance to put money towards taxes and kind of take care of all that for them, because a lot of them work so much for me throughout the year that at the end of the year, they weren't getting any money back, or even worse, they were paying money into their taxes that was unexpected. So I was trying to alleviate that a little bit and do the right thing and do that. So workman's comp and all that is all included too.
Yeah, that's interesting too, because like, you know, I know, well, even myself, we sometimes have like associate teams we send out, and other kind of photographers, videographers, even a lot of DJs I know, they do 1099 and they do everyone a subcontract. And so it's interesting to see that you kind of went that route, and it definitely makes sense like how that could be really beneficial to go that route. Now, what has it been like, you know, kind of doing quality control? I can imagine, like, I even run into this with my own business where, you know, it's one thing when you're, you know, the guy that's, or the girl that's like shooting the video, and you're doing the phone calls, you're showing up to the wedding, you're doing the editing, you're doing the Facebook posts, you're doing all the social media, you know, you're responding to the next bride, and you kind of just kind of keep going in that cycle, and it's always you doing it. What has it been like kind of making sure that your DJs are matching your standard that you have for your product?
In one word, training. That's really what it comes down to. So, all the DJs are required to spend at least a year shadowing me, at nearly every event that I do, whether it be a wedding, corporate event, private party. And the goal is to not create a clone by any means, but be able to get them to think on their feet and problem solve and know what to do. Because let's be honest, the event industry, whether the guests know it or not, a lot of it is problem solving on the spot, because at every single event that we do, I'm sure Travis, you can attest to this, every single wedding we do, something happens, right? Whether it be big or small. So we got to be able to adapt to that in such a way that, you know, the clients and guests don't know what's going on, but being able to do it in a professional manner. So that's just like one of the ways I go about it is the training on that front. And then also we do an annual retreat, which is we rent an Airbnb for a weekend, and all my DJs are required to come. We set up a time for everybody to be able to make it. I pay all the expenses for it. We go for the weekend, spend time doing a microphone workshop, spend time doing a mixing workshop, music, programming, sales, because they kind of sell themselves to the client. So as far as building that team and just building that camaraderie, it's a lot of it is hands-on and just being there for them and not just giving them a number, because I've had, you know, part-time jobs in the past where I'm just a number, and I don't want my employees to ever feel that way.
Yeah. I love the Airbnb aspect. A lot of photographers, for example, I mean, I've even been guilty of doing this. You know, you try to find someone to maybe start doing the editing for you. You know, you're getting so busy, you don't have time to do your own edits. And, you know, you try out someone once, you give them some, you know, presets or whatever, and you're like, okay, here's an example of what we've done. I want you to do this. And then they come back and it like looks nothing like you imagine. And sometimes it's not their fault, even though we immediately assume that, okay, this person doesn't know what they're doing, I gotta find someone else, or I just have to do it myself. But a lot of times it's just the training. They just don't quite understand. We have to remember that like a lot of our product, like especially like small businesses like us, it's all in our head, you know? And it's like, now the goal is to try to take that out of our head and to put it on paper, or to put it in the videos where they could kind of watch or absorb what we're doing. And I think that kind of yearly checkup that you do is great. And I think anyone could take that away, whether you're a planner or a florist. Like if you have teams or people that work under you, just at least scheduling a year, if not sooner, of just that kind of like checkup of like, this is where equipment is maybe going, you know, this is like where our style is going. This is like some stuff that happened to me at a wedding. Like, how do we adjust to that? Or even, you know, like the pandemic we're going through right now, like just coming together to talk through that. I think that's really crucial and really important. When you do these Airbnbs, what are they like? Like, what kind of things are you guys going over, and like, how long is it? And what's the process like for that?
So I actually put together an itinerary and I send it all to them beforehand. And the first day of the actual retreat, we all sit down and look, this is what we're going to be going over. This is what we're going to be doing, kind of a set schedule, just like you would see at a conference, like a DJ conference or I'm sure photographers have conferences too, just like that. So we're going to be going over this at this time. And that's really how I just lay it out to them. And so they know right up front what we're going to be doing. And on the side of the, let's say the microphone workshop, I'll actually videotape them I'll give them like a week notice, you know, like, here, this is what you're going to be saying. This is the bridal party you're going to be introducing. And that's where we're going to go about it. Now, I also videotape them doing this too, so that they're able to watch it back after the retreat, after all the DJs critique them. So they're up there giving their thing and we're just going to go ahead and just as a team, critique what we like, what we don't like, how they're holding their microphone, and then all that's recorded so they can go back and watch it back later too, which is something else that I do. So, but last year we rented a big mansion with a photography company. So, cool. Yeah, it was awesome. It was a lot of fun.
What would you say, like, so say someone, we'll use a one-to-one example, a DJ, say they've been doing it for a few years, they're starting, you know, say they're booking like 50 weddings a year and they're just like swamped because it's like they're the one trying to do all of them. Like, what would you say that they should be looking for in a person? Like, if they want to bring on another DJ, like what kind of person is the right fit for them? Is it someone that's been doing it for years? Is it maybe someone that hasn't? Like, I just kind of love to hear like what you think is like the most easily to teach kind of person there is.
So first thing is, if they're doing 50 weddings a year, they need to raise the rates, bottom line. Okay. I was doing 50 to 60 weddings a year at one point. I was charging $1,200. If I was that person, when I got to, let's say, 30 weddings, I would go ahead and let's say they were charging $1,200, I would raise my rate to 15. Next person that calls, that's my new rate, $1,500. If they book it, raise it to 1,600. If they book that, raise it to 1,700. And just keep going up until you don't get a booking off of it. And then from there, kind of assess where you're at. And if you want to keep going for that price or pulling back and going down to, let's say, 1500, that's what I would say on the side of pricing and booking yourself. With that being said, as far as bringing on somebody else, if you're ever turning down work, like let's say I have, you know, 10, 10, 20 last year, that was like a huge date, you know, if I maxed out, and I'm just booking myself and boom, I book it for $1,200. I'm going to start thinking I need to get somebody else on here, whether they're part-time, full-time, maybe just part-time at first. And for the season of 2021, train them the whole year. And then when 2022 happens, like let them do an event or so, like, you know, with you shadowing them or at the end of 2021 even. And then from there proceeding to figure out if they're going to be good fit for you, if not. And, you know, pay and stuff goes into that too, just minimum wage. Give them a chance to learn from you and learn what you're doing and just kind of building off that. That's what I would say to that person.
What I would say too is, you know, they don't necessarily have to be doing exactly what you're doing, like when you want to train someone too. You know, like I've actually found some of the best videographers I brought in are like people that only had like a ground level knowledge, but they were like a sponge. So they were ready to just absorb whatever you wanted for them to do. Whereas on the flip side, I've sometimes had second shooters where, you know, they've been doing this for years and they have awards and, you know, all these kind of things, but they're so set in their own way of shooting. So it's like they end up coming back to me with stuff that they thought they did great, but it doesn't match what we needed from them. You know, like for me, it's like the second shooter kind of has their own task. I don't necessarily need like another main shooter. I need someone to kind of be complementing what I'm doing. And so, you know, I think that's even something to kind of look for, is that if you're a wedding planner and you're looking to add an assistant, you know, maybe it's not necessarily someone that has been doing wedding planning for a long time. Maybe it's just you have this friend and she or he is like super driven and they're like always like on to the next thing. They might be the perfect person to train because they're hungry to learn and they want to do it exactly how you're wanting them to.
Exactly.
I think that's good. Now, you were kind of talking about, you know, raising rates and stuff, and that kind of transitions to one thing I want to talk to you about too. This is something I actually don't even know a lot about, so I'm kind of just curious in general, and it's how do you structure your packages and pricing when it comes to DJing, and has there been like certain different things you've tried and you find that like certain things work better than others? I would just kind of love to hear how what you guys are doing now and kind of how you've gotten to those packages and those options for your couples.
Sure. So, first of all, we offer three different packages. We have an essential package, which is all the essentials from the cocktail hour to the last song as DJs. And then we have our select package, which is that essential package with two add-ons, like for instance, ceremony, photo booth, uplighting, those kinds of things. And then the third package is the highest, which includes me as the DJ with an assistant. And that one's our experience package. So we have the essential at $1,500, the select package at $2,300, and then the experience package currently at $4,500 for the 2021 season. So as far as structuring goes and working with clients and booking, for us, what we found is on the retreat last year, I had my DJs all there. They all brought multiple suits with them. We did a photo shoot, multiple photo shoots. We got headshots for each one of them. And then on top of that, they also got bio videos shot and taken from the videographer that was present. So with those bio videos, they're short. They're only about a minute and 15 seconds long. I asked them pretty much the same questions, like what was your first party starter song? What would you say you're most excited for when you get to an event? You know, those kinds of things. And what do you bring to the table that's different from other companies and different from maybe the other team members that are on the staff? So we got those videos taken, and then when I'm speaking to a client, I'm kind of the one that feels them out to find out which DJ would be best for them. And then on top of that, also, you know, being that, you know, offering that kind of advice, and then from there, giving them maybe two or three different DJs to pick from and sending them those bio videos and say, here's the ones that I recommend for you. These will all be a great fit for you. Give these videos a quick watch. Let me know who you'd like to speak with. And then from there, they're able to go ahead and talk to that DJ directly for a quick phone call. But I've gone over pricing and everything at that point. So that's what's been working so far. But and then the other thing is too, I try not to sell myself as a DJ and my package for, you know, the experience package for $4,500. I sell them. If the client says that I'm on the phone with or a Zoom call with, says, oh, I really like you. Are you available? Yeah, I'm available. We can talk about that. And then I kind of go into my my package and my kind of pitch, I guess we'll call it.
It's good to define like what kind of studio you want to be. You know, like if you are looking to grow and to add teams and stuff, you have to kind of almost start removing yourself in a lot of ways. Whereas a lot of people, they'll go the other route, which there's not necessarily one better than the other, but like they'll go the other route where they become the main face of it. And so because of that, they almost can kind of keep raising their prices because there's only one of them, you know? So if they have something very unique going for them, they can almost force the market in a way and kind of force it the price for them to raise because, you know, if someone's coming to that studio, that's like the only person you can get. But I do think there is something special about kind of having teams. I know like for ourselves, like, you know, we kind of have like a premium. And so if they want to do the premium, that's going to be like myself and my wife, Emily, shooting the film and kind of like the full level service, you know. And it's not to like degrade what we would do if we had an associate team going out. It's just a little bit different. So, you know, it's a little more cost effective. It's a little less hands-on, but at the end of the day, they still end up with, you know, two filmmakers coming to the day, knocking it out of the park, you know, knocking it out of the park with the edit, still going through my eyes, you know, to watch the quality control. And at the end of the day, you know, it's giving people an opportunity to still almost have you in a way, you know, without it actually being you. Like, as you were saying, you train your DJ. So even though that's not you at the wedding, in a way, it's kind of like they're still getting you. It's not like the end of the world that you can't be there because because they know that they're going to still be in good hands because you've kind of grown this person to who they are now as a DJ.
Right. And on top of that too, some of the other things I also want to mention is that client that books with us, or even before they book with us, I let them know that I am also going to be there leading up to the wedding day. Like, don't feel like you're getting pushed off to somebody else. Like, if you have a question about your wedding day, bring it to me. And if I feel the DJ would be better suited for that question, we'll go ahead and speak to the DJ, or just CC me onto the email. And that way we're good to go. And, most of the time I'm automatically CC'd because all of my DJs except for one has, an amp event professional's email. So I'm automatically forwarded all the emails anyway. So they're kind of getting me, like, especially leaning up in the planning process, but then also, you know, not necessarily the day of, but, you know, like you were just saying, kind of a version of me, we'll call it.
Yeah, I love that you do that, because I think what can happen too is whenever you start adding teams, you could almost like grow too big, you know, and you lose that personal touch. Like, I know that we've done weddings and we're working with a DJ company, and it's like this massive, like, nationwide company. And it's like, I can't even talk to anyone. Like, I can't get a hold of the owner, can't even get a hold of the DJ they're hiring. And then, you know, I'll ask the couple, I'm like, hey, like, I need to talk to them about audio or something. And they're like, I don't even know who to put you in contact with, you know, like, and that's not a good sign. Like, when you start getting to that point, you start losing that personal touch, and then it just kind of lowers the value of what you're bringing. You know, I love that even though you are growing, you still kind of put yourself into the conversation and you're still available for the couple, even if you're not going to be there on the wedding day.
Yeah. And we want to make sure they feel comfortable too, even before they book with us. So when they watch the bio video and they decide who they want, I give them the option and say, hey, look, before you sign a contract with us, if you want to speak to that DJ, that's totally fine. Like, let's set up a call and have that happen. Most of the time, just like, nope, we trust you. We've seen your reviews. We've seen the videos. Like, you're good. Let's just move forward. But I also want to give that personal touch and that customer service that they're looking for, because we've all been to a terrible, or a wedding with a terrible DJ, and we don't ever want the client to feel that that's what they're getting. They're being pawned off with a bait and switch or anything of that matter.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's like half of our job sometimes, is like protecting couples from ending up with one of those horror stories, you know, like, yeah. There's so many. And I think a lot of times our goal is to make sure that, like, even if we're not the ones they book, like, I know for myself, I still want to try to make sure they get in the right hands and they don't end up going down a route where they're going to regret it. And they're going to be disappointed with their DJ or their photographer or the videographer or whatever it is. And so, you know, for us, that's a big part is, you know, okay, it's fine if you don't want to book us. If you don't think we're the right fit, that's not a huge deal to us. But can we at least point out some other people we think might be a better fit for you, instead of them just going back out into the market and they could end up with anything?
Yeah, right. And that's the customer service side. That's a great thing that you're doing. And on the customer service and kind of being a guide and stuff, after they book with us, they're able to, they're gonna get an email the day after they book with us with the DJ. It's an automated email that goes off. The DJ introducing himself again, saying thank you for working with us, and we look forward to just, you know, rocking out your wedding day or whatever. And then and then in addition to that too, we do, you just mentioned about reaching, after they book with us, we send them an email, various emails leading up to the day, kind of like, hey, have you thought about doing a first look? Here's a wedding vow guide sheet, you know, here's a planning guide sheet for you. So, like, leading up to the day, we're trying to be that, that guide and shoulder to lean on throughout the whole process. And that really adds a lot to it too. And we hear that all the time from our customers, like, oh yeah, I forgot about this. This is a great idea. So yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, real quick, we're going to take a break right here and then we will be right back. Hey, it's Travis interrupting probably myself talking in the podcast episode. Hey, I wanted to use this time to just thank you again for downloading this podcast and checking us out. If you are getting anything beneficial out of this, even if it's just a small bit of information, I would just ask that you would take the time to help us out. So if you're listening to the podcast on something like iTunes, I just want to ask you to leave a positive review on the platform and just let us know what you're learning from the podcast. If you're on YouTube, please, if you get the chance, like, subscribe, leave a comment, get some conversations going. We would love to be able to just chat in the comment section. But even further than that, definitely check out our Facebook group if you have not yet. You can find us on Facebook or Instagram at Wed Community Pod. Again, thank you for checking this out, and let's get back to the episode. So we are back. We are here with Ken, one of the best DJs I know in the Chicagoland area. So going back to what I was talking about when we first started a conversation is Ken left a pretty good impression on me, just his setup and his attitude during the day. And so with his ability to impress a videographer who has seen a lot of DJs, I can only imagine how awestruck the couples are when they see him roll in, he sets up everything, and you know, it's just like blowing it out of the water, you know, like with his setup and just what he's doing and how he's getting everyone out on the dance floor. So I would love to just kind of hear, well, first off, if you could kind of explain what your setup looks like. I know it's a little bit different, you know, just explaining it audibly. We can include like in the description a link to your setup, but if you can kind of explain what your normal setup looks like at the wedding. And then I would also just like kind of love to hear like what your process is like from the time you set up to the wedding and, you know, having the video for them and all that kind of stuff. I would just love to have you share all that.
Sure. So, my setup consists of the main feature of it is currently a 55-inch 4K LED TV that's part of the DJ booth. It's built into the DJ booth. And then on each side of them, we have intelligent lighting, the same lighting you would see at a concert like Lollapalooza in the city. It's the same lighting you'd see on stage there. And then the speakers that we use are very sleek looking white tower column speakers, what they're called, column arrays. So, and the whole setup is white. Every single piece of it is white and custom for the most part as well. So that's more or less the setup. And we utilize these different aspects of the setup in unique ways. So I'll reach out to the photographer a few weeks before the wedding and say, hey, look, I have this setup. I would love to get a photo from you from the ceremony earlier in the day, if at all possible, on the wedding day. So I'll kind of line that up first and foremost to do my end of due diligence, I guess you can say. But before that, way before the wedding day, I'll actually get the clients to send me 20 to 30 photos of when they first started dating leading up to the wedding day. And I'll utilize that to create a montage of some sort. And I'll play that montage back during their first dance while their first dance is going on. So I always tell my couples to imagine themselves on their wedding day in the middle of the dance floor with all of their guests around the perimeter of the dance floor and them watching this unfold and this first dance unfold with the montage unfolding underneath behind them. And with that too, I also want to try to incorporate some vocals of some sort from the bride and groom. So sometimes I'll do this with them knowing one another is doing it. Sometimes I won't, but I'll reach out to them regardless and say, hey, look, Travis, I know you want to dance with your wife, Emily, on the wedding day. So why don't you tell me what you love most about her? And I'll go to the house and I'll record it with him saying it. And then I'll do the same thing from Emily. And I'll surprise them in a unique way. Like maybe most of the time I try to put it over the first dance song. So as a total surprise out of nowhere in the middle of their first dance, their vocals come over it, telling what they love most about one another while this montage is unfolding behind them. And a lot of times if I can, if they have like video of their proposal or pictures of their proposal, that's the video I'm going to be using on the TV while that audio comes over the speakers. So it really is. I want to tug at the heartstrings as much as possible. And if I can make one of them tear up or a lot of the guests tear up, like that's my end goal at the end of the day to make it happen at least once. So that's just one of the ways that we utilize kind of the setup in that.
Yeah. You know what I really love about it too is like kind of the teamwork aspect of it. What I've kind of gathered from talking to brides, you know, over all these years, there's this little bit of fear I think they have that like their vendors aren't gonna like each other. When I talk to them, like, yeah, if you have any recommendations for like a DJ or a florist, like, please let us know. Like, we wanna make sure like you are getting a lot, you know, you are getting together with people that you've worked with before and that you would trust. And it kind of brings it all full circle then because, you know, you're kind of looking for the photographer for some extra assistance, but in a way it's also helping the photographer because it is helping you as your brand because you're showing off some photos from the day, but it's also helping the photographer because it's basically putting what they did that day like in the center stage, which for me and even for photographers, it's sometimes hard to kind of show people exactly what's happened. I know, like, a lot of times, like, I get the, like, you know, uncle or whoever coming up to me and he's like, you're doing a really good job. And it's like, you don't actually know what I've been doing. You know, like, you have no idea what I've shot. Like, I might be looking like I'm working hard, but like maybe everything was out of focus or something. But they think that you're doing a hard day's work. And so to be able to actually show what you accomplished that day, that evening in front of all the guests, it's pretty cool. And, you know, I'm even thinking too, like, so like we do same day edits, and a lot of times we have to provide everything. So we have to bring in our own projector. Sometimes like the DJ doesn't even have the right audio setup, so we have to bring in like our own audio supplies. We have to get this all situated beforehand with the venue and DJ and everyone. And it would just be so much easier to like know that, you know, I'm gonna be working with you. And it's like, you already have a monitor for me. It's 4K, it's gonna look great. Like we'll just set up two chairs like right in front screen of it. And then we play the same day edit there. And that's cool. And it, in a way it kind of brings everyone full circle and brings it together. Like, okay, you know, these aren't just like, you know, random vendor from this company, random vendor from this company. It's like, they all wanna work together and make sure we have a perfect day.
Yeah, sure. And with the pandemic going on too, we've done that quite a bit, utilizing that TV for that purpose when we get the opportunity to work with photographers that do that. And one of the other things that we've been doing during the pandemic is I've been reaching out to the parents of the bride and groom without the bride and groom knowing. I kind of do a little bit of research here and I'll say, hey, look, I know there's a lot of people that are unable to make it to their wedding next month. Is there any way that I can send you a Google Drive link and you can reach out to some of those members that aren't going to be able to make it, that would really mean a lot to the bride and groom, and see if they would be willing to record a video at home and upload that video, because then I'll go ahead and take those, you know, 5, 10, we've even gotten like 30 videos before, combine them all into one, and then play it back on their wedding day, right, you know, like during dinner or right after dinner happens or something like that. We'll find a good spot for it in the day, but that really sets the tone for what we're bringing to the table early on in the evening. So it's like, we're already doing this, so just wait to see what we're gonna do next.
You're almost like doing the things that like maybe like a friend or a relative would do for them. Someone would be like, I'm gonna surprise them with this, but it'd be like a friend. And it's kind of cool to see it that way, where like, even though they're hiring you and you're your wedding vendor, it's, if I was their friend, what would be something that would really wow them, or like what would really like shock them or something? And I love that. We've had a few same day edits we've done where only the parents actually knew about it. And so they basically booked us to do the same day edit as like kind of their gift to the couple, but they didn't tell them about it and they didn't tell any of the guests. So like when we were setting it all up, they're like, what is this? Is this like a photo montage? Like they were confused, you know? And it was kind of cool like how they had this idea, and instead of maybe trying to put together something themselves, they reached out to us, and then we kind of came up with this idea of like, hey, like, why don't we, because I think when they originally came to us, they wanted to do like a photo montage or something. And I was like, what if we did a same day edit of like the actual wedding that just happened, and we play that? Like, yeah, that would be like amazing to do. So it's always like trying to think outside the box and try to think like, okay, if this person was like my friend or family, like what would I do to try to like impress them, or what would be something I would do to try to gift them for their wedding day?
Exactly. Yes, that's exactly the approach that I take to it. And my company slogan is, we take your event from memorable to unforgettable. And that's just what I've always done my events by, and just try to strive to, again, tug at those heartstrings and, you know, make people smile, tear up a little bit even, but mostly surprise them in a way that they've never seen done before, and get the guests and the client who maybe not know what we're doing, like, holy cow, like, how did he do that? Like, how did they go about doing all this preparation and making all this happen? So
now all this setup sounds like a lot of work and a lot of a time dedication. What is the reason why you keep doing this? What kind of motivates you to keep setting the bar higher than what everyone else is doing?
The reaction the day of. I've done well over 700 weddings at this point in my career, and 500 of them were just generic, I call them generic weddings, or generic performances, let's say, where I just show up, did my job, threw an awesome party, and from there, you know, left for the evening. And then in 2017, I went to a DJ conference, and I saw Randy Bartlett speak there, and he gave his Randy Bartlett grand finale presentation. And basically what the Randy Bartlett grand finale is he records everything from the day, all the toasts that everybody's giving and all that stuff. Then he edits it all down during dinner. And from there, for the very last song of the evening, the grand finale, he plays his edit that he makes with a couple snippets here and there, a couple sentences of each toast and what they've said that is just going to create a lot of emotion, tie up the whole day. You know, we get all the guests around them at the end of the night for one final song. They're smack dab in the middle. They have no idea what's going to happen. And then I play the song All of Me. And the beginning is their vows going back and forth, you know, like groom saying a sentence, bride saying a sentence. And immediately they just look at me like, holy cow, what is he doing? Like, what is happening right now? This is the greatest moment of my life. And they look at all their guests around them and all of them are just tearing up and just saying, holy cow, like, when did this happen? How did this happen? And that's what keeps me going. So in 2017, I started doing that. My first wedding of the year was like April something. And from there, every single wedding since then, I've strived to do that. And I've only missed one or two. And that was just because they didn't have toasts or the toasts were super short, like only a couple of sentences long and that kind of thing. But for the most part, I've done a lot of those edits and I have a system down to where it's like boom, boom, boom. So.
That's awesome. I was getting goosebumps as you were explaining that. So
I mean, I was too. I love it. I love it.
It's so cool. And really it applies to all wedding vendors. You know, it's kind of figuring out what in your niche is a way that you can impress others. So, I mean, that's easily a way as a DJ to kind of go out of your time. It is going to, you know, it takes a little bit more time. You can't be just like kind of hanging out at the bar or whatever. You got to put in some work while you're there and you're doing the music. But just that little bit of like extra work is just going to totally impress them. And that applies to anyone, like even for me, like with film, we've done those same day edits, but sometimes, you know, those aren't in the budget. Like those are very complicated things. We're bringing in an extra person that's with us all day. They're editing all day. We're doing this whole production setup to, you know, play this film. Sometimes people don't necessarily need that. But one thing we have done many times is if we have this awesome wedding, and the couple was just so sweet. And even though maybe they didn't like book a teaser, we'll throw together like a quick teaser like that evening or that next morning and tag them on, you know, Facebook, Instagram and share it with them. And not only does it just like blow their mind, you know, because it's like they're just like probably waking up at like, you know, 11 a.m., 10 a.m. They're exhausted from dancing and everything. But so they're like shocked that you even took the time to do that. But it also helps kind of elevate your own brand. You know, like I was saying at the beginning, it's like you left an impression on like another wedding vendor, which is a little harder to do than a couple. You know, a couple, their bar might be a little lower than like me, who's seen kind of everything, you know. And so you're impressing not only the couple, but everyone kind of around you. And it's elevating your brand. And it's almost kind of elevating your industry then. It's like if all of a sudden, you know, all of us started kind of doing next day edits, it becomes kind of the normal thing. So then it's like you almost have to kind of be thinking, okay, this is what I'm doing right now. Eventually other videographers are going to catch on to this. So like, what should I be doing next, you know, that no one else is doing to really impress everyone? And it's funny with those because like I was saying, when I've done those, you know, the couple will be super excited. They're sharing with everyone. But a lot of times it's like the planner who's like the most excited because they're like, I've never seen a videographer turn around something so fast. And so then next thing you know, you're on their preferred list and, you know, they're referring you to weddings. So it's definitely, it takes a little more work and they might not necessarily be paying for that extra work you're putting into, but sometimes it's just worth it because it's going to mean, you know, more bookings, maybe even more expensive bookings and just keeping your business going. And, you know, it just feels good to be able to say that you did that for them.
Yeah, I mean, I booked countless weddings off of that grand finale. And now that I'm bringing new things to the table, like the montage and the TV and all that, that's a whole nother animal. And people see that and they're just like, I've never seen this before. I want it, especially venues. And you mentioned about sending those edits the next day. I get home and I send them that finale as soon as I get home. I send also a review link because I always tell all the wedding vendors and stuff like that, what is one thing that the bride and groom are doing the next morning, right? They're waking up, waking up to each other for the first time, you know, as husband and wife, and they're at a hotel. So what are they going to do? They're going to go down to breakfast and they're going to talk to all the people that stayed in the hotel last night, and they're all going to be raving about my services and what I brought to the table and the grand finale that we did. And they're going to have a copy of that when they wake up in their email, ready to go, so they can listen to it right then and there. But with that too, like I mentioned, will be a review link. So when all of these guests are down there the morning after their wedding, praising them, praising the bride and groom for, you know, just the party that they've created, they're going to say, okay, I need to write a review for this DJ, right? I need to go and do that. So it's that much more of an incentive for them to go ahead and do that. And the montages and everything too, they get all those as well. Like, it's all in a Google Drive for them. So they get copies of everything right away. And we just want to set that, we want to keep that customer service going even after the day happens.
Yeah, that's something even myself I could probably improve on, is just the reviews and when I'm asking for them, because I have a tendency to kind of like forget about it. And then, you know, 2 weeks after I've already sent the film and everything, which is, you know, maybe a month after the wedding happened, I'm now asking for the review, you know, and it's like, not that they're not excited still about their wedding and stuff, but a little bit of that momentum has died off. Whereas if you get them like really early on, especially I think if you're a service where kind of after the wedding, you're kind of done with them, you know, like I think there's really no excuse not to be asking for that review right then and there. Like, especially, you know, like a florist or something, it's like you're kind of coming in for just that one day and you're done. So, you know, what I think could be really beneficial for someone like that is, you know, have all the floral set up and then know when the couple is going to come into the venue to see it. And like, even if you can't like grab the videographer real quick, like just get your phone and record the bride's first reaction to seeing all the floral arrangements and the decorations in the venue. And that in itself is almost like a review. And then if they're not doing anything, like maybe you can just go over to them real quick while they're, you know, waiting for the receiving line to start or something. Like, hey, I loved your reaction. Can you like just say like one sentence real quick about that? And I'm sure like if you knocked it out of the park, like they would have no problems doing that for you.
Yeah, I actually make a note at the end of my events, provided that the bride and groom are presentable and not too intoxicated. I'll actually go up to them, and when usually the bride and groom will come up to me after I finish that finale song, and they'll just, you know, send me praises immediately. And if I feel like it at that moment, I'll say, you know what, do you mind just holding on to this for 30 seconds? Let me grab my camera. Let's go in the bridal suite and you can tell me all about it. And I'll go and I'll bring my camera in there and I'll record them doing it. And it's gotten to the point where we have like 25 or 30 of these at this point. And I put together a montage of all of them and present it to my clients, my new clients, before I even book them. So, and I'll give them a chance to kind of see what other clients have said, other couples have said about what we do for them. And then from there, it just is really nice to be able to have that content, to be able to create that. And now I even get clients come up to me after they've seen, after their wedding day, they'll come up to me like, hey, I'd really like to do a video for you. I remember you showed us that video during the presentation. Like, can we get a video? Because I want to tell everybody about this day. And that was like, that's really cool. Like, that is like that's like the most humbling thing, right? Like, they want to give a video right then and there about my services and what I do. And it's pretty incredible feeling. Yeah. So
that's really cool. Well, Ken, I want to thank you for your time. I think there was a lot of really good information in here, and I just appreciate you coming on and just sharing your expertise. Can you let everyone know where they can find you? And if you have anything cool that you're working on, I love to let you share that too.
Sure. So you can find me on Instagram at AMP Event Professionals. That's AMP Event Professionals with an S on the end. And then my personal Instagram is at DJ Ken Murphy. We also have a TikTok that we're kind of building up a little bit too, which is at AMP Event Professionals. At DJ Ken Murphy as well. And as far as what we're working on, we have some stuff here that is going to be really, really creative and really set the bar high for, you know, moving forward into the 2021, 2022 seasons with our DJ booth. We're actually designing a new DJ booth with the TV in it again, but this time it's going to have a TV lift in it. So it's going to lift the TV 8 feet in the air at the push of a button. So it's going to give a whole nother experience to the wedding day and, you know, just creating the music videos that I've been doing too, and just bringing a whole different aspect once dancing starts, in addition to the actual music side of it. So I incorporate TV shows and movies in that with my music videos.
That sounds really cool. Well, I look forward to seeing that when it's created and seeing it at a wedding. So again, Ken, thank you for your time. And until next time, we'll see you around.
Awesome. Sounds great.